This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Picture it, Los Angeles, 2024.
Oh, welcome. Welcome to Out on the Lanai, the only Golden Girls podcast you're ever going to need to listen to. I, dear people, am H. Allen Scott / Sadie Pines.
I'm Carrie Doherty, and today we're doing a Beyond Golden Girls episode where we cover the many film and TV projects that the women did outside of the Golden Girls during the course of their illustrious careers.
Illustrious.
Today we are watching Estelle Getty's guest star appearance on a season 2 episode of the show Brotherly Love, not to be confused with the Golden Girls episode Brotherly Love, where Dorothy dates Stan's impotent brother Ted Bonapetit.
He's impotent.
He's impotent.
Before we get into it,
I know you have so much to talk about it.
Please.
Real quick, today in our GGVIP club, you're getting another Rusty Anchor happy hour. This week, we're watching some really fun Golden Girls bloopers.
LOL.
We found the bloopies where they go, and I bet there's a lot of that. It's so much of that. But we did find a few that I think really speaks to, like, secretly to B and Betty's infamous dynamic behind the scenes of the show.
Ooh.
So we will be breaking those down.
We're getting saucy over on the Pates. Wow.
Getting real saucy. And you can check it out by joining the GG VIP Club at patreon.com/Golden Girls Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's free to create an account, and you do get cool stuff with a free account, but you do get most of the bonus content at the $5 and $8 a month tiers, so check that out.
And I would also like to remind people that, yes, we post the full video of the episode over on the Pates at, I'm calling it the Pates from now on, over at the Pates.
The Pates Motel.
At the Pates Motel every single Wednesday when the episode drops on Patreon and all of that. And then the following Monday, it goes live to the YouTubers. And I've been loving so many people, like, subscribing over there and watching over there. And I just think it's so fun to, like, have us on your television at home when you're, like, you know, I don't know, like rocking the baby or, like, making the fondue. I don't know what you
stir
do at home.
Stir frying.
Folding the
them undies and Bombas, you know, socks.
Yeah, whatever. Yes, finding that sock, that missing sock, and wondering, how does this one always go missing? Whatever you do while you're listening to the podcast, I think it is really fun to now watch us while you look for that sock.
Speaking of watching us, I threw this shirt on. If you're watching on the video, I threw this shirt on right before we started recording because prior to this, I'd literally been walking around in, like, an XXL Goosebumps shirt all day.
Yes!
And with the way I've got the, like, low ponytail, and the way I'm wearing this shirt, I feel like I look like a girl in the news who I'm like a hardcore athlete. I'm like a cyclist or a surfer or something.
Oh,
Or I'm in the tech world and I murdered my best friend, like in a black swan kind of situation. And now I'm on the run.
I was going to go in an opposite direction. I was thinking you look a little bit like a substitute teacher because substitute teachers always, they weren't quite in athleisure, but they were always a little too comfortable. You know what I mean? For the teaching setting. They were always a little, just a little too. It's like when B was doing that night class, that citizenship class or whatever that she did or whatever she was doing. And Rose took the class. Like, B dressed like B or Dorothy dressed like Dorothy. But it also was a little too casual. It was like, substitute teachers are casual dressers, I think. And I love that about them because it says to the class, I'm not going to be here long, so let's be comfortable.
I also feel like substitute teachers, and again, maybe not Dorothy's Barnack, but substitute teachers are mostly like, you can call me Dave. Yeah. I'm going to sit on the edge of my desk. God, you know what I mean?
The teachers that let you call them by, to this day, when I was shooting Latter-day Jew years ago, and we went back to St. Louis and we ran into one of my old teachers just in the parking lot because we were doing like B-roll stuff. And she came out and I was like, oh my God, this is Miss Barker. Oh my God, this is Miss Barker. And to the director and stuff. And Miss Barker was like, you can call me whatever her name is. I don't know her name to this day. It's Amy, actually. I can't call her that because that is not her name. I'm not going to say how old I am, but I'm old enough to have a college-age child. And I cannot say my high school teacher's name.
I can't either. I have such a hard time because I did become friends with our theater teacher, and she was my English teacher. And I have such a hard time calling her Wendy. I want to call her by her, you know, by her name.
Yeah.
It's a little bit difficult, but okay. We have to talk about brotherly love now.
Okay. I
need to know all your thoughts because you're someone who has never seen this television program. I have seen it. I need to know what you think.
I have separate relationships with Joey and who's the middle brother? What's his name?
Matt.
I have separate relationships with both Joey and Matt. Joey, obviously, from Blossom and Matt from Mrs. Doubtfire and other things. The child I have no relationship with. He is a foreign entity to me. He looks like a weird little ball of a human to me. But I went into this thinking this was going to be like, remember that Haley Joel Osment series where Ed Asner was on it and it was like,
yes. And he
was a little kid and stuff. Yeah. I went into it kind of thinking it was going to be like that, where it was like just a family sitcom. Things were happening and a lesson was learned at the end. But it wasn't not that either. It was a family sitcom, but it wasn't that. It was a trip. It was a trip that I'm not sure I need to take again.
I'm going to explain to the people, for anybody who hasn't seen Brotherly Love, this was a show that started airing in 1996, 3 years after The Golden Palace ended, just to kind of know where Estelle Getty was in her career. And this was a show, it's about three real-life siblings, the Lawrence brothers, Joey Lawrence, Matt Lawrence, Andy Lawrence, and they all play themselves sort of different last name, but same first names. And the premise of the show is Joey, the older brother, he returns to the family business a year after his dad dies, the family business being like an auto body shop. Mm-hmm. And he's like a fish out of water because he's like this like leather jacket wearing kind of pretty boy. And now he lives there. He's got, you know, sort of reconnecting with his, you know, stepmom about how to run the business, how to deal with the boys. This show was produced by Whit Thomas. No Harris anymore. Susan Harris was out. It was co-created by Jim Vallalee, writer of The Golden Girls.
Yes.
And it aired for two seasons from 1995 to 1997. So when Estelle was on it, it was the second season. The first season it aired on NBC, wasn't for NBC. So the WB picked it up for the second season. Mm-hmm. And as you had said, so at this point in the boys' careers, you know, Joey Lawrence had already done Blossom. Matt Lawrence had done Mrs. Doubtfire. He wasn't yet on Boy Meets World, which a lot of people know him from the later seasons of Boy Meets World. Andrew Lawrence had done some stuff. He'd done a sitcom with Tom Arnold. But this was a show that it went into reruns on Disney, on the Disney Channel. And this is where I would watch it with my little brother, who's closer to Andy Lawrence's age, the little one, who was like a spitfire. Remember, he used to go on like late night talk shows and do Jim Carrey impressions and Al Pacino and all the stuff. So that's sort of the show, which I think is a fun idea to have like three real life brothers.
The premise is so good. And having the real life brothers, I think, is great. It's very much an Osmond effect or a you know, like the celebrity family thing. I love that. I love that concept. And I love the dynamics of that. And even the storyline, like the whole setup for the show is very good. It's a great setup for a show. The team behind it is incredible, which is why when I started watching it, the writing wasn't necessarily bad. It just felt like nothing connected. It just felt
I thought it was pretty bad.
It was, I mean, I don't think it was necessarily, I don't think the lines were bad. I think that's what I'm trying to say. I don't think the actual dialogue was necessarily bad. I laughed at times. You know what I mean? I didn't chuckle. I didn't have to go pee or anything. But I definitely laughed, mainly at Estelle. But I also remember started watching the show, and then I would get up, you know, I'm still watching, but I would get up to go fill my drink or do something. And then I would come back, and it was almost like I was watching a completely different episode.
Because that's so interesting.
Suddenly there was something else going on. So I was trying to even explain to Michael, I was like, well, it started with a calendar, but now there's a race, and things are happening with this family, and it all seems very traumatic for the young one.
Yes. And we're going to dive into the story. I do want to point out a few things just kind of overall about the show. One is the wardrobe. Mm. It felt so mid to late 90s to me, just layers upon layers. All brothers are wearing like the t-shirt and then the flannel over it and then the jacket. Mm-hmm. One does corduroy, one does leather, one does a jean jacket with a zillion mm-hmm. patches, I guess to like fit their respective personalities.
Yeah.
But that and like the choker necklaces, mm-hmm. I am being blasted back to high school right now with this wardrobe.
Yeah.
I also wanted to play a little bit of the theme song because do you remember Joey Lawrence's singing career?
Okay. Now, let me just also throw out Joey Lawrence here for a second because he's a very important entity in this conversation, especially today. I was never attracted to Joey Lawrence on Blossom. I became attracted to Joey Lawrence when he cut his hair and he became a man.
Mm. And then, on this show because he has short hair on this show.
He became a man for this show. So this was a very much when I was a kid, I was like, oh, Joey Lawrence is a man now. Mm. And I remember his singing career because I remember it kind of being laughable. But not like in a bad way, but in like a, oh, Joey, whoa, you know, like it just.
I had a different reaction because I was like 12 when his big hit song came out. So I was like, swoon, Nothing My Love Can't Fix.
Sing the music, a little bit.
Oh, there's nothing my love can't fix for you, baby. Do you remember that song? I'm positive.
No.
Okay.
I was singing Amy Grant's Baby Baby at that
time. I was singing Baby Baby too. It doesn't mean that you can't also like Joey Lawrence, Nothing My Love Can't Fix. Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. Hearts in Motion is one of the greatest albums.
Every heartbeat belongs to you.
There's one song that's just about wearing hats.
Did
it's
I tell
beautiful.
You the time that I had my grandma buy that because I had to steal another album?
No.
Amy Grant's Heart, and it's Hearts in Motion, right?
Yes.
Amy Grant's Hearts in Motion. When I was a kid, for my birthday, I wanted the Janet Jackson album, Janet, but my grandma wouldn't buy it because she's showing her midriff or her like stomach area in on the album cover. And I was like, oh, I really want Janet. But I knew my grandma would buy Amy Grant's Hearts in Motion. So I gave her
Amy
Grant.
Right, because it's like kind of light Christian.
Exactly.
Like a little bit
teetering. It was more pop, but it was very controversial for the Christian community. But that's another podcast. But... I gave her the album, not like my story isn't another podcast, but I gave her the album to buy. And then I stole the Janet album. I stuffed it down my tiny little, my pants have never been tiny, but I stuffed it down my pants and I got out of there. And not only, and I got two for one. I got a 2-for-1 birthday present.
Just like the girls that Blanche mm-hmm. and Rose mentored.
Except I'm smarter because I didn't have to, my grandma didn't get caught either.
No, but your grandma was the decoy.
She didn't know it, but yes.
That's incredible. Well, wow. Okay. This is a lot to take in right now. I feel like I may have follow-up questions about this experience in your youth a little bit later. I know we have to go to a break in a moment before
we
dive into
the episode.
Let's play
the theme song.
I did want to play a little bit of the theme song because it's so 90s Joey Lawrence. And you know what? I'm going to say this theme song slaps.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, because of you know, copyrights, I can't. But yes.
Oh, it gets better, everybody. Just keep listening to it. I'm sorry. I think that is such a hit.
Yes. I mean, I can see why it would be a hit in 1997.
He does like this Michael Jackson, you know what I mean? It's very intense.
I see music of that era as a pre-Celine Dion's My Heart Will Go On and a post My Heart Will Go On. In fact, everything of that era is a pre-Celine, post-Celine moment. And that song was very pre-Celine.
Very pre-Celine. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Pre-Celine, not made Pre-Celine. From horse urine. There we go.
All right, and on that,
on that, let's take a break and then come back and dive into Brotherly Love.
Brotherly Love. It sounds homoerotic.
And we are back talking about Estelle Getty's guest star appearance on Brotherly Love, Season 2, Episode 7, titled Motherly Love. And in this episode, Estelle plays Lloyd's mother. Lloyd is a man who works at the auto body shop. He's played by Michael McShane, a character
Fantastic character actor.
He's been in everything. He's been working forever. He's so, so great and was so great on this
Wasn't
show.
Wasn't he in Drop Dead Gorgeous? I think he was.
He may have been. You want to Google that?
Was. Yes, I'll Google that real quick. What's his name real quick? Sorry.
Michael McShane.
I got it. Okay, go on.
So Estelle's character, I believe her name is Myrna. We're just going to call her Estelle. And
yes,
she
he was
great.
He was one of the judging people. Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
She lives in her RV. And so and like they're working on her RV, but because she lives in it, she's just living in it in the auto body shop. So the whole episode, it's like she's just staying with them, which I think is to me, it's like a fun it's a fun way to have someone crashing at your place, given the situation of them owning an auto body shop.
Can we communicate about Estelle Getty on this real quick? Just a real preface of Estelle Getty's appearance, vibe, everything in this.
Oh, yes. I definitely want to talk about her appearance.
I love that for once in Estelle's career, she basically was kind of a Blanche.
Yes.
She was a little bit slutty, a little bit rock and roll, a little bit country, all the things. She was all the things. She was so feisty, but not in an old lady way, in a lady in a trailer who has seen some things and wears a wig kind of way. And it's my kind of lady.
I was obsessed. Like if this wasn't network television, she would have had a cigarette dangling out of her mouth in every scene. She's Blanche. She's wearing these bright, bold Miami colors. She's got this bright red wig. She reminds me of all of the women in Edward Scissorhands after they've gotten their eccentric haircuts and they're really feeling themselves.
Yeah. Yes.
And like Sophia, this character also has no filter and says what's on her mind. Like Rose, she's a great dancer because she teaches mambo out of this little motorhome, which I think is such a fun detail.
Yeah.
And it is also maybe kind of like Rose question mark because it's implied that maybe she murdered some of her like four husbands at sea.
I would love, I mean, Estelle Getty, I think she only had one husband, but I love the idea of Estelle Getty having multiple husbands and like going to town on the love parade. Like, I love that in my head.
It's after reading her autobiography, Arthur, her husband, I reading about their love story and how in love they were and how they like worked the long distance for a while. I can't see her with anybody else, but that's only because I really soaked that book in. But Rue McClanahan, husbands. I can totally see that. And the way she talks about them all, it's like that to me feels like it's totally Rue.
It's also just really fun because I love Estelle Getty with children. I love Estelle Getty with young people. I love, I mean, just young adults in general. I love Estelle Getty was ageless in a lot of ways. And when you see her with someone younger, now, when I say younger, I don't mean like, I don't even mean someone in their like 40s. I mean someone who is literally like teen to 20s, and how fun that is to see her with them, because it brings out this energy and spirit in Estelle that she's just alive, you know, and I love it.
Yeah, she's so great. She has some really fun scenes with Andy, the youngest brother. But I do first want to play her intro. So there's a woman who works at the auto body shop, a mechanic named Lou. She's the love interest for Joey Lawrence. She was so great on this show. I've always loved Lou. You did or you didn't?
I did not. There's something about Lou I didn't enjoy. I don't know why. I got the love interest part. I got that. But I did not. I don't know. The energy just wasn't there for me. Maybe it's because I was wanting to be Lou with Joey.
Oh, maybe. Feeling a little gels.
Maybe. We'll talk about it over on the Pates. My gels on the Pates.
So this first scene with Sophia, I mean, if you close your eyes, with Estelle, you close your eyes. Oh. It's like Sophia is talking to Blanche in this scene, the way that she talks to her. So I do want to play this intro with her and Lou.
Mrs. Burwell, hi. I'm Lou. I work with your son, Lloyd.
Oh, yeah, the hussy.
The wig.
Excuse me?
Round heels, easy Edna, mattress tester, work with me on this. The word for tramp these days is...
Mother, how many times do I have to tell you that not all women are after me to get your RV?
Also, I just realized, if you are listening to this episode, if you're a Patreon member, we're playing these clips so you can actually see them and you can see us reacting to them. So if you are on Patreon, pause and go over and watch the video.
Or if you're listening to this or you want to see it on, you know, the following Monday, you can go watch it on YouTube.
That's right. YouTube as well. Thank you for constantly reminding me about YouTube, because otherwise I would 100%
It's open
forget.
To everybody. It's open to everybody. I love that.
Yes, I do too. So that's Estelle's character. She always has a cocktail in her hand, like a frozen daiquiri situation.
Just love a frozen daiquiri? I'm just going to throw that out there. There is just something, and I'm not a big drinker. You know this. I don't do drinking. I've had problems with the drinkings before. But there are times that I do thoroughly enjoy just like kicking back with a nice little frozen beverage, getting that little headache from the frozenness of it, and just being like, we're just doing things. It's sweet. It's fun. It's spicy. I love it.
I do. I used to work at a restaurant that had, I feel like in LA, they always do such like bougie cocktails. Like you don't see those like frozen machines where you can like take it like a slushy, like they used to have in Georgia. Mm-hmm. But I used to work at a restaurant that had just strawberry daiquiris, pina coladas, or you could like get a mix of the two and margaritas, and that was it.
That's fun.
I miss stuff like that.
That's fun.
So that's Estelle in a nutshell. There's a fun moment too. Like you said, when she interacts with the kids, it's really fun. She makes the youngest son, Andy, get her better reception on the TV by holding up a wire hanger wrapped in aluminum foil. Do you remember the old days of the TV when you would have to do shit like that?
You know what's so interesting? I was thinking about that watching that. I don't have much of a recollection of dealing. I remember at some point, I think at my grandma's house, she had a antenna on her television, and there was like a twisty thing, a knob thing that you would switch to try to get better reception because of the antenna. I don't know how any of it worked, but I remember doing that. But I don't have much of a memory of dealing with antennas so much. Do you?
There was, when we used to go camping, we used to bring a little black and white TV with us. And
I do remember
we would
that,
have to
I
deal
guess.
With it with
My
that.
My brother had a handheld TV, similar situation. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. When you were a kid, did your mom ever yell at you for sitting too close to the TV? Because she's like, you're going to go blind. You're going to hurt your eyes and all that stuff.
No, my mom was usually at work.
That's right. Because you had watched daytime talk shows because she was working.
Well, also, my parents' guarding of television and me was not really a thing. The television was fully the babysitter. So my mom was just like, sit as close as you want. I'm going to go cut up the vegetables or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, wasn't much of a concern too much. How about you?
Well, my mom would put a piece of like duct tape on the floor and be like, you can't sit past this line or else you're going to hurt your eyes. And I was curious about this. I'm going to go on an H. Allen Scott tangent. I Googled this because I was like, was that a thing or was my mom making it up? Were parents just making it up? And it turns out pre-1950s, television sets emitted levels of radiation that after repeated and extended exposure could have heightened the risk of eye problems in some people.
Wait, it had that's like finding out Coke actually had cocaine in it. Like, what? How does it have? So the radiation comes from the screen to your eyeballs?
So, yes, but this was pre-1950s. So that by the time you and I were watching television when we were children in the 1950s, it was moot. I mean, I guess you can still get like eye strain if you're straining your eyes and you're sitting really close.
You can't
like damage your eyes. And we couldn't back then.
Wow. That's
crazy. It's an old wives' tale.
Why has it got to be wives?
Wives just be wiving. Am I right? Can we talk about the scene where Estelle is essentially a background performer for a whole scene?
I know. What was that? See, that's what I was thinking, too, because I was like, you have a I get you don't want to give her many lines. I get there's probably struggle there. But like, what is going on? You have Estelle Getty on your set. Just tell her to say, ha ha.
Or just have her go into her RV. She was literally. Because they started to set her up outside of her RV. It's really funny. She like puts up an umbrella. She sits in a lawn chair. She drinks her drinks. She listens to her mambo. Mm-hmm. She listens to her salsa music. But they set up the B story of the episode, which is there's this like family feud between the Romans, which is Joey, Matt, and Andy, and the Pasternak's, you know, formerly known as the Gerklickner, Beigen, Hofstetner, Frows.
Mm-hmm.
They run a rival auto body shop in town, and there's a Pine Box Derby, which is like such an 80s, 90s sitcom thing, racing in the Pine Box Derby. So Matt Lawrence beat the record a long time ago, and now he's too big to race, and he doesn't want the Pasternak kid to beat his record. So they enter Andy instead. And Estelle is sitting in the back. An Emmy Award winning actor, Estelle Getty, is sitting in the background the whole time, not saying a word.
I had a question about that kid in the other family. Was he a regular on this show?
I don't know if he was a regular, but I did read about him.
Because he's supposed to be a child, right?
Yes. He is supposed to be a young teenager.
Well, that's even worse. He has a receding hairline and looks like he might be Benjamin Buttons.
So this actor, I believe he passed away.
God, now I feel horrible.
But no, it's okay. But he had, I think he had something, I believe, something wrong with his kidneys or his liver.
Oh, that makes sense.
When he was a kid.
So much older.
He stopped growing. So he stopped growing when he was younger. And I think they even make a joke of it in the episode where somebody's like, are you sure you're a kid? Are you sure you're a teenager?
So how old was he?
I believe he was like in his 20s. At that time.
Oh, so it was kind of like the Hannah Montana thing with the brother, how the brother was secretly like 48 or something, but he was playing a teenager.
I never watched Hannah Montana.
I only know that because of Michael, but the guy, the brother, Hannah Montana's brother, is actually like older or something on Hannah Montana, not in the show, but in real life. And so that's what I figured was going on. But to me, he just visually looked so much older. He looked like He looked like he was, 20, 30. So I was like, what is this?
He did. Yeah. I wonder if he was really good in the role. And
he was a great little actor.
He looked like the actor who played his dad. Mm. So, but they did kind of write a joke in. I hope that it wasn't uncomfortable for him. But
it probably was. But good for him. Good for them for keeping him in the cast and not doing that horrible thing of like, oh, you're sick or oh, whatever. Like, we're going to rewrite your part and have someone new come in and do this. Like, I like that they stuck to it and didn't do the vanity thing about changing it just to keep up with appearances. You know, I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I also want to point out there was a moment where I think they snuck in a very dirty joke that I don't know if you caught it. I had us pull the scene, but I want to set it up. So the Pasternak dad, and this is like so 90s when like this kind of stuff was like, I don't know, where we were like, oh, yeah, this is just what you get in like a kid's show. The Pasternak dad puts out a calendar every year of hot chicks. Like all the auto body shops have them up on the wall. He's been trying to get Lou to pose for the calendar. And he wanted her to be Miss October and to pose with like pumpkins and whatever. And then Joey Lawrence in a later scene makes like a callback joke about it. And I just want to see if you noticed what I noticed.
I definitely did not notice it here.
Let's play it. Clip.
Yeah, of course I do.
Okay. And you want to see Andy win that race tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I do. I mean, if it's important to him.
Oh, well, it is. I mean, look at the kid's face.
I want to be a contender.
I will not go to the Pasternak's and spy for you.
No, Mom, look, I don't want you to sit on his pumpkin. I just want you to check out his car.
No, it all sounds too dirty. I mean, no self-respecting woman would debase herself in this manner. Right, Myrna?
Wear this.
Don't you think that might be a little provocative?
Got me the RV.
Did you hear what he said?
No, I still missed it. Maybe I'm filthy.
He said, I'm not asking you to sit on his pumpkin.
Oh, wow. I totally missed that. Probably because I was looking at Joey Lawrence.
Yeah, you may have been.
And I bet everyone in America also missed it because everyone was looking at Joey Lawrence.
I'm not asking you to sit on his pumpkin. I feel like I'm like, how did it get through?
But also, do you see? Lou's not a good actress.
I think she's great. I also felt so bad for her. Did you the dress they put her in, the one that Estelle holds up at the end of the scene? It's like sheer purple, has two giant purple handprints over the boobs and over the butt.
Yeah,
and they made her wear that. And I don't know, maybe she was like, I look good in this. I'm not saying I know how she felt, but I don't ever recall the Lawrence brothers being put in skimpy outfits on the show.
But maybe
you know what, though? I bet they were. I bet Joey Lawrence took his shirt off.
Oh, I hope so. We need to find that episode. I hope so. I mean, I'll admit I would wear that dress.
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't?
No.
Why not? Just
what handprints over my boobs and my butt?
I mean,
I don't know.
At least with me, they're going to be there eventually. So why not? You know, have a guide, you know?
Well, she does end up wearing the dress over to the Pasternak's, and she's like, she's got to like shower. She's like, oh, Mr. like the dad made her sit on his vibrating chair, like just to get info about their pine box car so they can like make a better one. Like, do your own dirty work.
Yeah. And you know, the dad would go for Joey. All of America would go for Joey.
If Joey had done it, that would have been a fun plot twist.
If Joey went over there, pretended to be Mark Wahlberg in his Calvin Klein's and sat on the vibrating chair, I guarantee you that dad would have been like, okay, I get it. Let's go.
Joey really is the Dorothy Sun Michael of this television program for you.
He is.
We just keep everything is sort of through the filter of like Joey is sexy and hot. And I'm really enjoying that this is how you view this
90s?
Show.
Wasn't that the 90s with Joey Lawrence? Hello. I mean,
it
now,
was the 90s with Joey Lawrence.
I mean,
it was.
We should take a break, though, because I need to cool off.
All right. Cool yourself down. Okay, so little Andy is terrified to race in the Pine Box Derby.
I would be too. This little Lawrence, this tiny little Lawrence, I'm sure America loved him. I'm sure he was a funny, he was like the handsome bot little one that everyone liked.
Wait,
like I'm sure.
Sorry, hold on. Back up. What's the name of the song?
Mbop.
Did you say Mbot?
Mbop. No, Mbop.
Okay. It sounded like you said, but.
No. But. No. He's the little one in the Hanson bop, which
yes, Hanson. Yes,
the Hanson brothers have aged well. I'm just gonna say
they've
that.
Aged so
but
well.
They're
all like married with a gajillion children. Yeah, and they still make music together, and they just seem absolutely lovely.
Well, like the Lawrence brothers having the Brotherly Love podcast. I mean, they're all together, and I do love to see that. No one's had fallouts, which is wonderful to see. But, and I'm never. I don't like going in a direction of talking about children's looks. However, I will say there is something like from a horror movie when a little kid is in a horror movie. You know what I mean? And because they look a certain way, because they look, they have that horror movie look to them. So the actor gets cast and the little kid actor gets cast. I'm thinking of like, the movies.
I think I know where you're coming from. It's because Andy Lawrence has a very similar haircut to Danny Torrance in The Shining.
Oh, that's true. I didn't think of the Shining connection, though, because the Danny character in The Shining isn't scary to me. But I think that the tiny little Lawrence brother is actually terrifying. I think he looks like a murderous child.
Okay.
I can't help it. I see him and I just think if you put a filter on this kid and you slow down the music and you quiet everything else on set, that kid is terrifying.
I'm going to ask you right now. Sorry, I'm going to make you do work. We need to post this as a clip. Make what you just described, and then we're going to insert it right here and post it on socials because I need to know if other people feel the same way because I do not see it. Andy is too scared to tell his brothers that he doesn't want to race because they're so excited. He doesn't want them to be disappointed in him. Classic family sitcom story. So he asks Estelle if he can hide out in her RV until the race is over. Mm-hmm. And Joey and Matt figure out what's going on. They decide they're going to go talk to Andy. And I want to play this part of the scene when they go to talk to Andy in Estelle's RV. You have to watch this on Patreon or YouTube because you will see the clip and you'll understand why I really wanted to pull this moment because there's a really fun kind of a reminder of an iconic Golden Girls scene. Mm-hmm. So okay. Let's play that.
So Myrna and I came up with a solution.
You did? What was the solution?
Let's roll.
Mother, you? Hey, she doesn't make the weight requirement.
Ed Roy's been waiting to get me in a pine box for the last 20 years.
Morning, losers. I'm just making sure you don't try and back out at the last minute.
Oh, we'll be there.
Whoa, where'd you get the apple puppet?
This apple puppet, sir, is my mother.
Roy, don't help.
Best part of the episode. Yep.
So for those who were not watching, Estelle has decided she's going to race instead of Andy, and she comes out wearing the racer's jumpsuit.
Yeah,
I'm so sorry to all you racers out there, which I believe Estelle ended up keeping.
Oh.
And sold, I think, maybe as part of her estate when things were up for sale. So, Jeffrey Carter, if you have it, I feel like you know who has it.
Oh my God, Jeffrey Carter, find this jumpsuit.
Yes, I know it's out there somewhere. Someone has it. But at the very end,
I love Jeffrey Carter.
For reasons unknown, I do too. For reasons unknown, Estelle starts doing like back handsprings and flips. And it's that, you know, it's the body double of
it
like a 16-year-old. It's the Rose in the Dance Marathon moment. And
it
I
is
love
such
it.
Such an old, like Hollywood trick in film and television, the weird. And I love the comedy of those moments. I've so wanted to do that once with like you know, doing like a shots of me, you know what I mean? Like, let's say like I'm out there and it's like Sadie's walking down the road or whatever. And then it's like two versions of me, but then you flip the camera and it's like someone absurdly not me, but pretending to be me. I mean, I love the comedy of, cause in this scene when she's doing the flips, you know, it's not her. On the Golden Girls, that horrible blonde wig, you know, it's not Betty. It's so bad. Or in the horror movie when the head blows up and you know, it's some fake thing. It is the funniest thing to me. I love
it
so much.
And it's great because they don't do it anymore. Because if this were made today and if this were like a $30 million an episode Marvel TV show, mm-hmm. they would just CGI Estelle Getty's face over the body and it would yes. match somehow.
Yes.
And it would work. And we don't get that anymore, which is why I cherish it so much now.
Although I do love the moments and like even... in like Titanic when there's that great scene where they're like running down the hallway and like it's like Kate and Leo and they're like the water's coming behind them, but clearly it's stunt doubles who are doing the running, so they superimposed or whatever it, like Kate Winslet's face, but it's like morphs from her face to the stunt double face, and it's so bad that I laugh every single time, which is horrible because it's a movie about a mass destruction, but still.
We can lighten it by also mentioning a really funny incident where in a film where this was kind of like winked at in a funny way, which was in Spaceballs.
Oh, yes.
Where Steven Tobolowsky, great character actor, comes out. He's like, "You idiot, you've captured their stunt doubles." And like, oh, Mel Brooks, man. What a genius.
Genius.
I have a question mm-hmm. just to go back to mm-hmm. Sophia, to Estelle. And all the fun stuff that she just did. Mm-hmm. Mr. Pasternak calls her an apple puppet.
Yeah.
I Googled this. It is not a thing.
I don't know what it is either.
What is an apple puppet?
As I was watching the episode, by this point in the episode, I was so like, what's happening? That as soon as I heard that, I immediately was like, you know what? I'm giving this one to Carrie. I don't know what this is, but I know she's going to look it up.
I was like, who's this little apple puppet? I just couldn't. I don't know. It was beyond
me. Michael and I stayed once. I was doing an event in San Luis Obispo. And San Luis Obispo is sort of in California here. They have the Madonna Inn. They have like a lot of themed hotels. We got put in something called Apple Farm or Apple whatever. And it was like a hotel Cracker Barrel where everything had relations to apples and like down home country type things. It was both terrifying and oddly comfortable. And you could walk, like as you walk down the hallway from your hotel room, there are like knickknacks, because of course, you know, it's Cracker Barrel, so there's knickknacks everywhere.
Yeah.
And every knickknack in the hallway of the hotel had a price tag. You could buy everything in the hotel, basically.
Wow.
It was the strangest.
That's kind of fun.
It was very comfortable. But it also was very strange. Delicious breakfast, though.
I remember. It's been a long time since I've been to a Cracker Barrel, but I remember really liking their dumplings.
Mm, yeah. Cracker Barrel hits. I'm just saying.
That's a fun word to say over and over again together, those two words. Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel. Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel.
Cracker
Barrel. So Estelle enters the race.
Yeah.
She doesn't win. But she does intentionally blindside the Pasternak kid and he spins out and crashes, which seems incredibly reckless, but she doesn't get in trouble. Everybody just like cheers. Mm-hmm. And the three Lawrence brothers don't care that she lost. They're just glad that Matt's record wasn't beaten by the Pasternak kid, who's now seriously injured, presumably.
Yeah.
And then poor kid. Yeah. And then they wanted to show a moment where like Estelle is teaching the mambo to Andy,
mm-hmm.
but she is barely moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought, well, if that was like, if Estelle Getty was not physically in a place to, I mean, cause we just saw her doing gymnastics. She was doing back handsprings, roundhouse, like, so,
maybe what I kind of loved about it, though, and this goes back to
maybe don't show her doing the mambo if she's not going to, if she's not in a place where she can dance.
This goes back, of course, but there is also something really delicious of a dance teacher that can't or doesn't dance. I do love that aesthetic. There's in Drop Dead Gorgeous, one of Michael's favorite lines that we quote in the house a lot of the times is, tendu close, tucking the tushy. And she's just like, teaching this dance. You know she can't do any of these things she's saying, but she's just smoking or whatever, just being like, you're doing great, girl. Tuck in the tushy. And then on Gilmore Girls, I forget the character's, the actress's name, but she was on the John Larroquette show. So there's Golden Girls crossover here. I hate that I'm forgetting her name. But she's the dance teacher on Gilmore Girls. And again, she ain't someone out there dancing. But yet, I love it. I mean, even on Dance Moms. You know,
yeah,
Abby
I was
Miller.
Just thinking Abby. I never Abby once saw.
Literally, Abby's just, speaking of Cracker Barrel, she was recently, I follow her on Instagram, and she was recently just surprisingly a guest host at a Cracker Barrel. So.
Wait, at a guest host doing what?
I don't know. It was an Instagram stunt where, I mean, she also goes, she does this at the Olive Garden. She does it at various places of chain restaurants, but she was like pretending to be the host at Cracker Barrel.
Oh, I see. I see. Okay, sure. Okay, well then, you know what? Maybe it was a choice and I take it back because then it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And finally, I do want to play the final moment with Estelle and her son, Lloyd, because it's really sweet because he, throughout this episode, he just wants her approval and her love so badly. And she she's not going to give it to him. And it just feels, I mean, minus the tenderness that we always get with Sophia and Dorothy, it feels like a funny Sophia Dorothy moment, minus the tenderness.
Totally.
We've had quite a day, haven't we, Mother? We Burwells are not emotional people. Perhaps we've grown to take each other for granted over the past few years. But I want to thank you for what you did for little Andy. And I'd like to think you did it for me, too. Neither of us are getting any younger, and I just wanted to tell you, well, how dear you are to me.
You're amazing, Lloyd. You always say the right thing.
I do. Thank you, Mother.
Yeah, look at this. Sappy windbag in the third at Alameda. Oh, I've got to call my bookie. Thanks, son.
I love you too, Mother.
Estelle in that red hair is just so good.
Well, it's because that's really her real hair color. And when we saw her as young Sophia, you know, it wasn't as fiery red, but it was red.
I do. But there is something about a very clearly red wig on an older woman that I just love. It's like my future. It's literally my future drag as Sadie that will just become Shirley. I will become Shirley MacLaine. I'm not even going to lie. I was going to say 40 years, but let's be real. In 20 years.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Well, that was the episode. I'm sorry that this show was such a roller coaster for you.
Well, I mean, it wasn't bad. Again, you know, I enjoy spending any time with Estelle Getty, and I enjoy any moment where I get to relive my childhood sexual fantasies of Joey Lawrence. So, this was not a bad experience because of that.
I will say too, because I had a crush on Joey Lawrence before I knew who Matt Lawrence was. And then
Matt Lawrence?
I was more Matt Lawrence because it was more age appropriate. I was very much into the age appropriate stuff when I was younger. Like I remember loving Goonies when I was a kid, huge crush on Sean Astin. And then years later, I saw a movie and I always thought that we were the same age because I saw Goonies when I was about that age, but I didn't realize that the movie had been made years earlier.
Yeah.
And then I saw a movie called Toy Soldiers when he played like a college freshman and I was devastated because he was older than me.
That's a good movie, that Toy Soldiers. You know, I just recently, it's so funny you brought up Goonies though, because I never put it together that that's Josh Brolin in Goonies.
Yeah.
Never put that together. I always thought Josh Brolin was just sort of like a pretty boy until his 30s when he decided to be like, you know, yo, my dad's Barbara Streisand's husband or whatever. I'm gonna become an actor and then get an Oscar nomination.
Oh,
or
gosh,
whatever.
No, he's been doing it forever.
Yeah.
But so Matt Lawrence, like Mrs. Doubtfire, definitely this show was like more my vibe. And oh gosh, how many years ago? I don't know, 5-6 years ago. Stan and I were trying to sell a 90s pop culture game show. I can't
remember
if I talked about this on the podcast before. Because I think, were you there?
I was there at Nerdmelt, yes.
Yes, at Nerdmelt. And Tom Green hosted, and we paired like two 90s pop culture super fans with a celebrity. And one celebrity was Natalie Morales. You've seen her in literally everything. She's fantastic. The other person was Matt Lawrence. Mm. And he was so nice. And he won. But he won the challenge at the end where you have to, like take the, you know, put the straw in the Capri Sun and put all the butterfly clips in your hair. And he had a beanie on and he was like putting them on under his beanie. And you had to find the prize in the cereal box. And Tom Green did such a good job hosting. But he was such a nice, nice, nice human being.
I have a question. So
yes,
if you had a crush on Mr. Lawrence when you were a child and you were standing next to your current Mr. Lawrence, if you will, how was that uncomfortable for Stan? Did he know then? Or did you have to tell him afterwards where you were like, I have to tell you something?
No, because he was like, I definitely had like a crush on him, but he was never in like the echelon of like a JTT.
Oh my God. I have some, we need to talk. You know, actually, this is a preview of today's Rusty Hunker happy hour, because I'm going to start things off by talking about something with JTT, but then asking Carrie, and she can ask me too if she wants, what your celebrity pass is for each of our
spouses. All right. We'll add that to our Rusty Anchor happy hour with the bloopers. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
So go to that. But we should take a break and come back with our golden takeaways.
Okay. I'm going to tell you one thing. There is a woman on my pass card.
Oh, my God. How Angelina Jolie of you. I hope it's not Angelina Jolie.
It's not. But I'm very excited to tell you on the Rusty Anchor happy hour. All right. Let's take a break and come back with golden takeaways.
Okay. And we are back with our golden takeaways, which is just a little nugget of truth or maybe some inspiration that you can apply to your life or the lives of our listeners. Carrie, what is your golden takeaway from this episode?
Follow the Lawrence brothers, or just pick one because they all post the same stuff, on TikTok or Instagram, because they do have a podcast that they do together.
You just said follow just one of them because they're all the same. I mean, basically.
Well, I follow Matt Lawrence. He's the only one I follow. I assume because all he posts are videos of the three of them.
Does Stan know you follow Mr. Lawrence?
Yes. Stan knows I follow Mr. Lawrence. Because also something that's really fun is, so Matt Lawrence is dating Chili from TLC.
Wild.
Which Wild. I love.
Wild.
I am obsessed with this. And this was like a couple I never saw coming.
No one saw it coming.
And they're so like cute together. And she's sometimes in their videos, especially when they dance. And it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my golden takeaway.
My golden takeaway from this episode is I only mentioned it once in passing, and I just think I need it acknowledged how much, even though I did lust after Joey Lawrence throughout the past 50 minutes that we've been doing basically this podcast, I am very proud of myself that I did not make endless jokes about gay porn, considering that this show is called Brotherly Love, and all I could think about was porn jokes and silly, stupid gay porn things. And I kept back and I held myself and I held my tongue. Also a porn reference that could be funny. But I stopped myself from doing so many things, and I had to get it out now. But I'm very proud of myself. So please, if you're at home in a safe space, you can applaud that right now. Thank you. Thank you.
Well Thank done, you. H. Allen Scott slash Sadie I'm Pines. Maturing. You're maturing right before our
and
very eyes.
I am changing. I can't sing too much. Copyright.
Well, everyone, this has been another episode of Out on the Lanai. Thank you all so, so much for listening. And remember, you can find out who our celebrity Bone Zone passes are by joining the GG VIP club at patreon.com/goldengirlspodcast. And we're also going to be watching some Golden Girls bloopers, which is going to be really fun.
We need to say Bone Zone so much more so that we can put it on a t-shirt. We need to do t-shirts. Maybe, well, no, we'll let others do that. Guys, we're a part of MOM, Moguls of Media. Welcome to our staff meeting, where people can, you can find us on social media, at Golden Girls Pod on Twitter, Out on the Lanai Official on Instagram, Golden Girls Pod on the Facebookles, and I am H. Allen Scott / Sadie Pines on all of the isles.
And I am Squidzy on Instagram and Squid Eat Squid on Twitter. And also, if you want to do something cool for the podcast, you can rate or review us wherever you get this podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you to the Bone Zone. And remember,
as always,
stay golden. Bone Zone.
Out on the Lanai is not endorsed by Whit Thomas Harris Productions, Touchstone Television, Disney, or any of its subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only.
All names, pictures, audio, and video clips of the Golden Girls are registered trademarks and/or copyrights of their respective trademark and/or copyright holders.